Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. The very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings, many greetings. Welcome to the Saucer Pod. Thank God there is a Saucer Pod, since we've been sailing through inclement weather for some time. We appear to be in something like the doldrums of the horse latitudes at the moment. Not necessarily a bad thing. It's probably connected to that Mercury in retrograde situation that's been going around. I want to apologize for the poor sound quality that we've had lately. I haven't got my old system set up yet, and I'm using a laptop, and that's problematic. Well, tonight we're hovering over hijacked Scotland, where already multiple incidents of voter fraud have been discovered, and generally when voter fraud is in operation, there is a good commercial reason for it. And it is definitely in operation these days whenever that can be accomplished. I fully expected this. The city bankers and big oil syndicates weren't going to let one of their major cash cows escape from the stables. Obviously, revolution must come. Transforming change must come. When it will come, I do not know, but it seems comeuppance must come in the process of the evil that men do. In times of apocalypse, what was once permitted is no longer permitted. In the chaotic darkness before an apocalypse, many things are permitted for the outworking of old karmas and for any number of reasons. The seeming lords of the land have grown fat on the certitude of their continuance. They are convinced of their imprimatur upon the face of existence. They are junky fundamentalists of the gospel of wealth. They believe in the might of right, and the lives and welfare of others are mere ciphers who have meaning only insofar as their existence affects their bottom line. But even this is not necessarily true, because in the passage of their movements from being evil men and women, they have progressed to being monsters, and so it is not enough that others must live in grievous necessity and want. They must also be hunted for sport and tormented for their pleasure on every available occasion. This is how it has been for some long while, but it is no longer permissible to continue in this manner. They were allowed to continue long enough for them to be fully defined as what they are. Now the apocalypse is here, all bets are off. Judgment Day is a part of the apocalypse. This doesn't often point it out unless you are a member of some sort of charismatic or Pentecostal sect, and their version of it is generally wrong, but most perceptions of it are generally wrong because most people haven't a clue as to how it is all going to go down, up, or sideways. What we do know is that it is upon us. We also know that nothing works right anymore unless you're a tool of the darkness, and that is just them living in the echo of what used to be and no longer is. The apocalypse is always a game changer. It is that time when the rules are different and the face of the board upon which the game is played is changed. The conditions that come and go on the board are new conditions. No one has any clear sense of what is happening, and possibly anything might. I don't remember the last apocalypse I was in, so I've got no reference points for this one. I've got a pretty good idea who the bad guys are in various other forms of negativity, but I don't know how it's going to sort out. You got the things that Scripture tells you, but most of that is allegory and parable. You got the things the intuition tells you, but if you got no compass or watch to read it by, well, people try to read it in the stars, but my experience is that they usually get it wrong. I don't know who exactly is supposed to be a prophet these days, but I haven't encountered one that was able to read the signs in any way that turned into something I could understand. If you head into any major city and pick up the local classified ads, you will see, depending on the size of the city, many hundreds of people advertising their psychic abilities. I remember once in New York City, I saw ads for a dozen people who were channeling Jesus, and another half dozen who were ferrying Abraham up and down for wherever he was supposed to be located. And Abraham was pretty popular, as I remember, and oh, so was the Archangel Michael. There were another half dozen channeling him, too. Of course, this was only one city, albeit one of the larger ones, but even so, it wasn't in California, where the numbers for this kind of thing are considerably larger. You think to yourself, well, you figure Jesus and some of the others might be busy being service-oriented like they are, but you never figured they'd be coming down dozens of internal freeways at the same time and providing different contradictory reports in each and every one. My immediate reading on all of this was that probably every one of these people was lying. There aren't many smaller and medium-sized towns these days that don't have a spiritual bookstore. And, of course, the larger towns of every different size generally have more than one. This means hundreds and probably thousands of these kinds of bookstores. And it's not just bookstores, but there are all kinds of occult fellowships and religious retreats and shake-and-bake cults. And all of them got experts who do things like aura and chakra cleansing, as well as tarot readers and all other forms of psychic readings and all kinds of Reiki spin-offs and astral travel guides. It's been more than a decade since I've looked into this field of operation. At the time I looked into it, it was growing like kudzu. When I looked into these things once, they were growing like kudzu. I expect by now Sedona has been franchised like Home Depot and Kmart. This stuff has been going on for a long time. The 900 dial psychic numbers are all over the planet. I met some people who used to work that racket, and they told me they had a list of questions and answers they referred to with each call. They thought it was perfectly appropriate to do this, but they were tribe members, so kind of went with the territory. This kind of thing has been going on for longer than they've been keeping records of things, and of course in times like this when the con is on and making money is the supreme motivation of life, when the inflation of self-importance has gone beyond the bounds of reason, everything is within the realm of permissibility as long as you can get away with it. It's open season on everyone. An apocalypse is when things come out in the open. This means that what was operational but hidden over the course of an age gets propelled into the spotlight. All the things you're hearing about these days, provided you're listening, are the things that have been going on all along. Ruled by those whose identities were concealed, that's how it was. But now they are by the day becoming known. Vile and satanic practices by the elite, these have been going on for a long time. They are becoming known. Wars for profit, fueled by the economic dreams of bankers, have been going on since money was empowered to influence human behavior. That's being exposed. Corruptions in the religious traditions. These have been with us for as long as wars financed by bankers have been sanctioned by religious leaders. Of course, the governments are staffed by those vetted by bankers. To say that the love of money is the root of all evil is to say that those who love money above all else are capable of and motivated toward the greatest expression of evil. I can only speak for myself in these times or any times. The most overpowering feature that I notice and have noticed for a long time now is the oppressive tenor of the days. The negative force field is palpable. It is enough to make a grown man cry, and there aren't that many of them around. Officially, I never got much older than 12. I don't know what the case is with everyone, but my picture is in the dictionary next to Arrested Development. I don't know if that's a good thing. Sometimes it feels like it is, especially when I think about having to be like a little child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Of course, in that case, I may be too old. Well, they say age too late. Excuse the pun. Which ain't funny, by the way. Other times, I'm made painfully aware of how ill-equipped I am to make my way in the world. A part of my mind tells me that this is how it's supposed to be because I am meant to rely on the ineffable in all things. This is not something I do very effectively. I try hard, but the relentless distractions of the world and turmoil prove to be pretty effective in making me ineffective. Here I am at what, for anyone else, would be an advanced age, and regardless of what has happened to me in recent times, I don't feel like that at all. I never get the sense that someone is younger or older than me either. Maybe they're not. The world is in a continuous state of camouflage, making chameleon adjustments to whatever veil has been applied to the truth of the world, as if there were such a thing. At the same time, Mr. Apocalypse is on his walkabout, so startling things pop out of nowhere, much to the distress and embarrassment of those who go to such lengths to keep these things concealed. The word I get is that this is going to not only increase, but begin to occur at a much faster rate of speed. We try. Some of us try hard, and often it seems so futile. It is as if we were seeking to mount a sand dune in the Sahara, which we now hear is twice as old as we thought it was. What could that possibly mean? I had no idea how old it was in the first place. Anyway, there we are, going up the side of a dune, only to find yet another dune awaits us once we've slipped, or fallen down the side of this one. I have never seen such a time when personal change was so incredibly difficult. When one invests an effort in adjusting their behavior or a mindset that has outworn its welcome, it's so hard. I can almost see an LED tracer line flashing the word, stalemate, stalemate. Are we in a controlled limbo? Is the state of the world at present like two giants in an arm wrestling match? One hand moves the other an inch and then the other hand moves it back. Whatever's supposed to follow this competition is reliant on the competition ending and a winner being declared. In the meantime, we wander from room to room. Unfortunately, we're not talking about Michelangelo, but more likely Miley Cyrus or Kim Kardashian. I try to be hopeful, and I can maintain this in respect to my own attentions, and know that out of affliction comes transcendence in its own time. When I look around me at the world, it is a more perplexing thing. Frog in my throat this evening. I cannot fathom how the mass of the population expects to make any kind of an evolutionary leap in heart, mind, or person, given that their interests and attractions are pedestrian, if not entirely vulgar. How does one migrate to a higher plane when their entire focus is on lower planes? That's a question that needs to be asked, and another one is, how can one expect to rise to a higher plane of understanding while resident in the mix of the mass? That's got to make things a whole lot harder, doesn't it? I don't mean to demean humanity at large, but if the general consciousness is pulling downward, wouldn't that create a drag on any consciousness resident? It hits me like a wall of wet sandbags around my consciousness. Here's how it looks to me. One has two choices. One can cooperate with what is happening to the culture and the society in hopes of prospering, or at least being overlooked, and one can expect to travel on the currents and the tides of the times in the variable directions that seem to be operative, which to me are degrees of decline downward, gradual to very sharp. Now keep in mind that the pull of the collective mind while transiting on these currents will exert a very strong pull on every swimmer in the area, or one can attempt to focus their consciousness on a higher state of being, which might mean some degree of isolation. At least it might mean not being in an urban environment, because when, not if, but when things go wrong, it will be there that the greatest intensity of undesirable change will occur. I don't want to instigate panic mode here, but I do think it is imperative to be where the food grows, and the drive for imperial control is less so. In these times of such complexity, darkness, and overwhelming onslaught of sensation, it is difficult to find a sustained serenity, yet we must. We must. I don't want to instigate panic here, but I do think it is imperative. Yes, indeed. Well, so many things are imperative. What do you do? It's times like these when one should give a greater portion of their attention to those tenets expressed in Scripture. That's also imperative. Whatever your faith may be, you should further seek to immerse yourself in it and call out with them to the one who holds everything in their invisible hands. If you are fearful and insecure, one might assume you are reliant on fearful and insecure things. Reliant on things of little real substance. My thoughts have just stopped for a moment almost. Outside of all that I have said, there remains one further option, and that is the impact of the mysterious ineffable on our person and our environment. I suspect the power of this force will be dependent on the degree of concentrated focus of any individual on the ineffable. The extent to which anyone has made themselves reliant upon this timeless agency of salvation and goodwill. Who am I? Who am I? I am a hosting zone for whatever I've invited to live through me. Whatever that might be, it has a destiny. and that is determined by its particular vibration as it interfaces with the will of the ineffable. Some things are very temporary, much the way one's hunger is not satisfied by fast food. The effect only lasts a short time. Nutritious food will sustain the absence of hunger for a much longer duration. This is true not just of physical food, but also emotional food, mental food, and spiritual food. At this point, one can assuredly say, you are what you eat. I don't know which way to go, and all of my experiences this year have proven this to me. However, seeking to err always on the side of the positive, it is my presumption that I have been put into the straits I have been put into to render me helpless and inclined toward a total surrender to the ineffable. What else can it mean? God hates me? It can feel like that, but that goes contrary to scripture and every tradition. I have to believe everything is for the best and that absolutely all things work for good for those who love the Lord. That's why the greatest commandment is the greatest commandment. I refuse to give in to doubt and despair, and I refuse to abandon my commitment to endure. It may be a long tunnel. It may seem beyond our capacity. This is not my concern. My concern is to keep on keeping on. I advise you to do the same. All right, my friends, as is inevitable, we have again reached the end of another broadcast, and I guess it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. I'll see you next week, if there is one. Once again, sorry for all the glitches, and it's not easy on this particular machine, but I'm doing my best. In the meantime, don't let your heart be heavy. Trust in that inner light, which, whether we can see it or not, is shining always. That said, greetings, my dear friend, Lord Ganesh. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Hare Krishna. Alhamdulillah. Om Amitabha. Much love, Lady Nature. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and...
He's strong and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. You can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. Bringing love and truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSync Radio Network of Stations.